Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Giving all praises, all glory, and all honor unto the mighty Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Welcome to another broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Morey Isha Yisrael, here at the House of Yisrael, located at 1907 Vine Street. Here to bring you nothing but the truth. And we will speak about the truth of Yah. And who is this Yahweh? Yahweh is the Elohim of the heavens and earth and sea and all that therein is. The creator, Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Yahweh is the Elohim whose all-seeing eye has not escaped the plight of the so-called black man and woman in America here today. For everything that has happened to us, everything that is happening, and everything that will happen, Yahweh has spoken about it in his book. His book, which is called the Book of Yah, the Scriptures of Truth, the Holy Scriptures, and the Book of Yah. So we give all praises to the Most High and the Book of Remembrance. And we give all praises to the Most High for allowing us to be able to bring you nothing but the truth. I'd like to say shalom to everyone listening in the YouTube, Facebook, and Blog Talk. Praise the mighty Yah. In this evening, we're going to continue discussing the last days and Yahweh's king, King David. But tonight, we're going to discuss who is Yahweh's righteous servant. The reason that we're going to discuss this evening is because the world has been lied to. How do I know that? Well, when you're lied to, you're in darkness, meaning you can't see the truth. And in the book of Isaiah, the 60th chapter, in the first verse, the Almighty has spoken this, where it states, "Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Yah shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Now, what does this mean? That the earth is in darkness. What is the Almighty letting us know? As I said, the world has been lied to. And as you've seen in Yah's word, he said not only is the earth covered in darkness, but the people, what people? His people, the children of Yah, the people are in gross darkness, which means thick darkness, heavy darkness, an abundant of darkness. So Yah's people are in more darkness than the rest of the world. And what have we been lied to about? We've been lied to about the truth of Yahweh's righteous servant. Because it is Yahweh's righteous servant that everyone is looking for in the latter days. Look what the Most High says in the book of Hosea, the third chapter. In Hosea chapter 3, it states here in verse 4, "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek Yahweh their Elohim, and David, their king. and shall fear Yah and his goodness in the latter days. Now, this is who Yahweh said were to seek and what Yahweh said were to do. But many people are in gross darkness. So they don't seek Yahweh, nor are they seeking David. Yet many people have been lied to and bamboozled and has had the wool pulled over their eyes so that they now are looking for something somebody else told you that will come in the latter days. And they have told you that this person will come in a variant, different and various ways. Every black person is looking for the Messiah. They just can't wait for the Messiah to come. But many of us have been lied to about who is this Messiah. How will this Messiah come to you? And let me show you some of the things that we've been lied to about. If you go to the book, go into one of the most popular beliefs that you hear throughout the world, especially among the African American community. In the book of Isaiah, the 7th chapter, if you go there with me, and you start reading in the 7th verse, I'm going to show you how they lied to you. And we're not going to start in the 7th verse. We're going to start in the 14th verse. This is how they do it. Start in verse 14. And it says, therefore, Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then they take you to the book in the New Testament. They take you to the New Testament. They take you to the book of Matthew in the New Testament. They take you to the first chapter of Matthew in the New Testament. And they read to you a scripture. In the first chapter of Matthew, verse 22, it says, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled. What are you talking about? Verse 21 says, and he and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name the Christ of the New Testament. In your books, it reads spelled J-E-S-U-S, which we don't pronounce the name of this false deity. For he will save his people from their sins. This is the lie that they're teaching. Then, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Master or the Lord, as it says, because Yahweh's name is not mentioned in the New Testament, through the prophet saying, and here they quote what I just read in Isaiah 1:7-14, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And then they say in this book, which is translated Elohim with us. So you see, this is the lie they usher in. They want you to believe that a child was born unto a virgin. And when they're talking about a virgin, they're talking about a woman who has never known a man. When Yahweh's talking about a virgin, he's talking about a young woman, meaning a woman that's gotten married, she's young, and she knows her husband. That's the only man she's known. Yet they want you to believe that the Almighty committed adultery with somebody else's wife, as if the Almighty couldn't make his own woman and have his own child if that's what he wanted to do. No, they want you to think Yahweh had a baby with an Israelite and that she bare the child, and they gonna call him Emmanuel, because they're telling you right here they believe that this child is Elohim with us. Well, brothers and sisters, that's a lie. Because the truth of the matter is, when you go back to the book of Isaiah, the 7th chapter, Yahweh is much more sensible than that. And what he has showed you, I'll start just at verse 7. Really, I'll show you in the 7th chapter, in the first verse. It says, "And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Yehuda, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Yisrael, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it." This is what was going on. They went up to war against Yehuda, but they could not prevail against Yehuda. And Ahaz, he actually, you'll read this in the book of Kings and Chronicles, he actually went to another nation, the nation, I believe, of the Assyrians or the Egyptians, to ask for their help to fight against these nations. And Yahweh sent his prophet to Ahaz, and the prophet he sent is Isaiah. And Isaiah went to Ahaz and spoke the word of Yah. And you'll see what he said to him in verse 7. "Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah, Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely you will not be established." But you got to believe the Most High if you want to be established. "Moreover, Yah spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask thee of a sign of Yahweh thy Elohim. Ask it in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt Yah. And he said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my Elohim also?" And why did he say that? Because he went and asked somebody else for help, but he said he won't ask the Most High. And the Most High is proven and establishing to Ahaz that, look, these nations won't destroy you. And ask me a sign, and I'll show it to you to prove to you they won't destroy you. And Ahaz said, I'm not going to ask. In verse 13, it says, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Verse 14, I'm sorry. Therefore, Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Because Yahweh is like, look, you don't have to ask. I'm going to give it to you myself. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, this sign is for Ahaz. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Not only are they going to be able to see this child whose name is Emmanuel, he's going to eat butter and honey, and he's going to know to refuse evil and choose good. That's how his age, he's going to be that age. Now, you know, the Christ of the New Testament couldn't have been this person. Because the Christ of the New Testament said that you shall not resist evil. And this child is going to know to resist evil. Verse 16, for behold, the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good. The land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Yahweh shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Yehuda, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass that in the day that Yahweh shall hiss for the fly that is in the utmost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria, and they shall come, and they shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys, and in the holes of the rocks, and upon all the thorns, and upon all the bushes. In the same day, Yahweh shall shave with a razor that is higher, namely by them beyond the river, and by the king of Assyria the head, and by the hair of the feet, and it shall come to consume the beard. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk they shall give. For the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter. For the butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines, at 1,000 silverlings, it shall even be for briars and thorns. With arrows and with bows shall men come hither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. So this was going to happen within 65 years. They was going to have just sheep and goat milk and drink butter and eat butter, eat milk, eat honey because of the bees. And this has nothing to do with anybody saving you for your sins. Has nothing to do with this child being raised to the heights of the Most High. Nothing to do with him being Yahweh's righteous servant, and nothing to do with him being the Messiah. Now, let me give you also some information or some knowledge on what is this Messiah. Because we use this word, but are we aware of what it is? Well, the word Messiah, which is a Greek form of the Hebrew word Mashiach, which means to be anointed. And we don't have to go into anybody's dictionary to find out this truth. Just go to the book of Psalms 89. In Psalms 89, we will see exactly what a Messiah is. In Psalms 89, verse 19, it says, then thou spakest in a vision to thy Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. So with holy oil, Yahweh anointed David. And that's how Yahweh anointed all the Messiahs. Yes, I said all the Messiahs, because the king ain't the only Mashiach. And Mashiach means anointed. So when you're looking for the Messiah, you're looking for the anointed. Who is the anointed? And the priests had to be anointed. And the kings had to be anointed. And the prophets had to be anointed, and the nation had to be anointed, and the altar had to be anointed. Everything Yahweh chose to be set apart and holy for himself was anointed. That's right. the children of Israel is anointed. Yahweh anointed prophets through his spirit. Yahweh anointed kings, not only through his spirit, but with holy oil. Yahweh anointed priests, not only with his spirit, but with holy oil. So when you're looking for the anointed, you have to understand who you're looking for. If I pour oil on my friend next to me, he's anointed, but he's just anointed simply because that's what you do when you anoint somebody. He's not anointed by Yah. He's not anointed by the Most High. He just got anointed. We even say, oh, I'm going to anoint myself with some oil. You can anoint yourself. The word Mashiach, Messiah, means anointed. But Yahweh has chosen a specific person to be his righteous servant. He's anointed his righteous servant. And I just showed you how you're not going to find him in the New Testament. The Christ of the New Testament is not who Yahweh anointed. And he's not who Yahweh chose. We've been lied to about him being born through a virgin. We've also been lied to that the Messiah will come from a spaceship. Yes, our brothers and sisters in the nation of Islam believe that the Messiah will come off of a spaceship. There's a man going around claiming he's been on this spaceship, claiming that he is the Messiah. Yet, did Yahweh say anything about this person? See, the nation of Islam gets their messianic teachings from Elijah Muhammad, who drug his messianic teachings from the Quran. And the Quran and the Muslim community calls their anointed, their Messiah, the one who they're looking to come back in the latter days, they call him or her, him most likely, Muslims don't have any respect for women, but they call him the Mahdi. And you'll hear Louis Farrakhan and other Muslims saying stuff about the Mahdi and that he'll be coming off of a spaceship and the ship, the mothership, traveling in the mothership. They claim Elijah Muhammad is up in the mothership. And where does Yahweh say anything about anyone coming off of a mothership, a spaceship, an anointed coming off of a spaceship and teaching about the deity of the Quran? You won't read that anywhere. There's not even a scripture I could show you where Yahweh says anything about any man stepping off of a spaceship. And you know that he is the Mahdi or the Messiah. Yahweh doesn't even speak in Arabic in the Holy Scriptures, let alone call somebody a Mahdi. Yahweh's anointed is who he named. Yahweh's anointed is who he chose. And it's not a man coming off of a spaceship. I'll show you the only spaceship you'll ever see, the only aircraft you'll ever see in the Holy Scriptures that anybody witnessed and who was on it. Let me show you real quick, just to prove to you that the mothership don't have Elijah Muhammad on it, it don't have Farrakhan on it, it don't have Fard Muhammad on it, it don't have Muhammad on it either, and it definitely don't have a Mahdi, or a Muslim Messiah. If you go to the book of Ezekiel, the first chapter, and you can begin reading Verse 3, it says, the word of Yahweh came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest. He was the Messiah. He was anointed. Therefore, he was anointed. Therefore, he was a Mashiach, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river of Kibar, and the hand of Yahweh was upon him there. And Ezekiel says in verse 4, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, and a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Y'all ever seen Independence Day, the movie? Well, that's where they got it from. Because that's exactly what you see on Independence Day. This great big old cloud of fire enfolding upon itself and is real bright. And the color of it is amber. Out of the midst of the fire. Just look at Independence Day. And that's where they got it from. Also, verse 5, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces. And everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of a burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings. And on their four sides, and they had four, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. And they turned not when they went, meaning they were stationary. They had a face this way, a face this way, a face this way, a face that way. And when they moved, they didn't have to turn. They just moved. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces they had, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion in the right side, on the right side, and they had four. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went, every one straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went, meaning wherever they moved, they didn't have to turn because the Spirit took them, like you see, the aircraft. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like the burning coals of fire. And like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures. And the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. Yeah, this sounds like a spaceship to me. It's like an aircraft shooting fire to me. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I behold the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl. And they four had one likeness in their appearance, and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Y'all seen movies that look just like this. And where do you think they got it from? Verse 17, when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. And as for their four wings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Hello? The wheels are moving. things lighting up, it's moving. It came in a big cloud, a fiery cloud. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures was as the color of a terrible crystal, stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, and one toward the other. Everyone had two, which covered on his side, and everyone had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, and as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads. When they stood and had let down their wings, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above it. Now, is this going to be the Mahdi? Let's see who this is. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had the brightness round about, and the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yahweh. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And it didn't say anything about a Mahdi, a Messiah, a mothership, and a Muhammad's coming off of it. This luxurious, awesome aircraft that Yahweh traveled in is Yahweh's ship. It ain't the mothership. It's the father's ship. And ain't no Mahdi stepping off of it. And ain't no man running around the country talking, telling you he is the Mahdi, can claim that they've been on it. Because Yahweh never let, well, he never showed you here if he let Ezekiel on it or not. And he definitely didn't tell you he let Farrakhan, Elijah Muhammad, Far Muhammad, or any other Muhammad or Mahdi on his property. So you've been told that your Messiah is coming from a spaceship or the mothership, and that's been a lie. Because I showed you the only ship Yahweh describes in the scriptures, and ain't no Muhammad's on it, period. We've also been told the lie, and let me show you. Look in the book of Isaiah 53. Because we're trying to understand who is Yahweh's righteous servant. Everyone's looking for a righteous servant, the Messiah, in the latter days. And they've tried to give you a lot of different messiahs and prophets and people that they claim is this Messiah, but they've all have come up to be false. In the book of Isaiah 53, which I may add is where most Christians will take you when they try to prove to you that the Christ of the New Testament is the one who Yahweh is speaking about, even though you'll never see his name mentioned, not one time in the book. In Isaiah 53, let's start at verse 9. It says, "And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Was there deceit in the Christ in the New Testament's mouth? I can show you. Verse 10, yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yah shall prosper in his hand. Now, I thought that if he was a Christ in the New Testament, didn't have any children, as they say. But this person is going to see his seed. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. They say this got to be. Who else has this been? Well, let me tell you, it definitely isn't the Christ of the New Testament, even though they want to tell you that's who it is. How do I know? Because the main terminology that is used here, my righteous servant, which lets me know right there who I need to be looking for. Do I need to look for this Mahdi, this Muslim Messiah? Well, let me think about it. A Muslim Messiah, is he going to keep the Torah or no? Even though Islam will tell you that Islam and the Torah is the same, Islam and the Torah are not the same. In Islam, in the Quran, in the Surah 6, around the first five eons verses, you'll see that it tells you that you cannot eat blood, swine's flesh, or anything that's died of itself or been strangled. Yet, if hunger drives you to such, you can eat it. But you still are allowed to eat crabs and dogs and rats and cats and horses and buzzards and eagles and turtles and whales and sharks and electric eels. It doesn't tell you you can't eat snakes and iguanas. But Yahweh lets us know we can't eat any of those things. And he doesn't give us the option to eat if hungry. Break glass if necessary. That's not in Yahweh's book. So if he's going to be Yahweh's righteous servant, he can't be telling you you can eat unclean food. If he's going to be Yahweh's righteous servant, he's not going to make it lawful. And you'll read this in the 23rd surah of the Quran. He makes where the Quran tells you if a woman does not desire to be prostituted, don't force her. But you can prostitute her if you want to. That's not righteousness. When the law of Yahweh in the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter, around the 29th verse, lets you know that you shall not prostitute your daughter. For if you do, the land will fall to whoredoms. Yet, the scriptures let us know whoredom is completely illegal, but the Quran allows it. So, if you're going to be Yahweh's righteous servant, you cannot support wickedness. And how do I know that? Go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 20 or the 6th chapter. We're going to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to prove to you that Yahweh's righteous servant will never any of these religions, not one religion that's on the face of the earth, will Yahweh's righteous servant support. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, start reading in verse 22. And it says, And Yahweh shewed signs and wonders, great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household, before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Yahweh our Elohim, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before Yahweh our Elohim, as he commanded us. So Yah's righteous servant is a commandment keeper. That's what I just said. Yah's righteous servant is a commandment keeper. He don't just speak about them, he is about them. That's why Yahweh called him righteous. So if you want to find out who Yah's righteous servant is, who this chosen one is, then he's one that keeps Yahweh's commandments. Now let me show you something else, just to show you the lies that have been put forward is just that, lies. And when you're trying to find out who is this Messiah, just don't look at these lies. These lies are all that there is, lies. In Isaiah, the 9th chapter, you've been told this. In Isaiah 9 chapter, in the 6th verse, where it reads, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty Elohim, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now this is what they go to. A child is born, the virgin child, where we just showed you that the so-called Virgin Mary, they lied about that. This young maiden wasn't named Mary, and she didn't have a child with the name of Jesus. Now, yes, a child is going to be born. A son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, but his name ain't going to be Jesus. His name is not going to be Selassie. Oh, yes. I know a lot of people think that Selassie is the Messiah. They not only think that he's the Messiah, they think he's the Most High, period. Many people in the Rastafarian communities believe that Selassie is the Messiah because he was the king of Ethiopia. But when did Yahweh speak of Haile Selassie? Was Haile Selassie Yahweh's righteous servant? Well, think about it. Haile Selassie self-proclaimed that he was a Christian, that he served the Christ of the New Testament. Now, how are you going to have a man that told you he is a Christian? He changed his name when he became king from Tafari. His name was Tafari. They called him Ras. That was his title. Tafari. And when he became king, he took on a name, Haile Selassie, which was tradition in Ethiopia among Christian kings. He wore a big fat cross on his uniform. He went to church. How in the world is he going to be the Most High when he served the false deity of the New Testament? Let alone be Yahweh's righteous servant. Yahweh's righteous servant would not be caught live or dead in a church, wearing a cross, proclaiming JC as their savior. Nor will Yahweh's righteous servant be a Cushite? No. Yahweh's righteous servant is an Israelite. And they'd say that Haile Selassie is from the line of Solomon. And they had a son, Solomon, and the queen of Sheba had a son, and they named him Menelech. You can't find that in the Holy Scriptures. They say you got to look in the book of the Ethiopian kings called the Glory of the Kings or the Kibra Nagast. And in the Kibra Nagast, you'll find the lineage of the Solomonite kings from Menelech. Well, I looked in the book, read the book, and let me tell you, the book is false. Not only is it false, it has nothing to do with the word of Yah. And so this son that is born and given, and the government that's upon his shoulders, is not Haile Selassie. You never heard the Christ of the New Testament be called wonderful. You never heard the Christ of the New Testament called Counselor or the Mighty Elohim or the Everlasting Father. And here's the clincher. Not only did he not be referred to as the Prince of Peace, he himself, out of his own book that they subscribed to him, in the words that they subscribed to him, because they like to put his words in red, and they have him denouncing this title in the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 34th verse. It says, and this is the Christ in the New Testament speaking, "Do not think that I am come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." I mean, do you need any more explanation? He lets you know, you don't think I'm the Prince of Peace. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring war. "For I have come to set a man against his father," even though Yahweh is supposed to have his righteous servant teach to honor your father. But the Christ of the New Testament is going to set man against his father and daughter against her mother and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. One of the most righteous women in the Holy Scriptures, Ruth, the grandmother of King David, honored her mother-in-law so dearly that she saw the glory of the ways of the Most High and denounced her own nationality, denounced her own customs and culture, and said, "I'm going to be with Yah." But this here, the Christ of the New Testament, says, "I come to set mother against daughter and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Now, what man has the audacity to talk to you like that? If any one of Yahweh's servants tell you that, then that's not Yahweh's servant. Because Yahweh is the only one that requires and deserves supreme and utter fear and love. But here we have, they have told us a lie about Rastafari and the Christ of the New Testament. And they let you know that the government going to rest on their shoulders and they going to be the Prince of Peace. even though they got a picture of Haile Selassie stepping on a bomb, fighting a war against the Italians. He wasn't the Prince of Peace. Christ in the New Testament himself said he's not to bring peace. So if he's not even going to bring peace, he definitely can't be the prince of it. Yet they lied and they let you know this. That's not Yahweh's righteous servant. That's not Yahweh's anointed. He didn't choose these people. You don't see their names mentioned. You don't see where they're talked about at all. Also, let me take you and show you some more. Go to the book of Micah. The book of Micah, the fifth chapter, because you've heard it said, you've heard the lie, you've heard them tell you a story about the Christ of the New Testament riding on a donkey. And because he was riding on a donkey, this was supposed to be a sign of the Messiah. But let me show you that this here is not the truth, not the way they have said it. Let me find the scripture here. It's Micah, the fifth chapter. And find that scripture for me, Bo. I believe it's Micah, the fifth chapter. I can't seem to find this. Escape me. Micah, the fifth chapter, where he's riding on the foal of an ass. While I find that scripture, let me show you one more. Another misconception they have told us. Another misconception is that the Messiah will come out of Jerusalem. That he's going to come from Jerusalem or be waiting there for us, chilling, and not do the job that Yahweh said that he was going to do. But let me show you how this Messiah will come up. Oh, that was Zechariah. I was in Micah. But let me show this Zechariah 9 first, and then we'll get back to the other point. In Zechariah, the 9th chapter, there it is. Zechariah, the 9th chapter, we'll start reading in the ninth verse. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee in riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So you know what they did in the New Testament? What they did in the New Testament was, New Testament, they got the Christ of the New Testament riding into Jerusalem on this animal, on both of them, really. Even though that is not what this scripture is talking about at all. And this got people thinking that he's got to be in Jerusalem because it's saying, "Daughter of Zion, O daughter of Jerusalem." Well, who do you think you are? Who do you think the children of Israel belongs to? We are the daughter of Zion. We are the daughter of Jerusalem. Yes, and he's going to come having salvation, and he's lowly, and he's riding an ass, meaning he's carrying burdens. Why do you think it says Yah's righteous servant will be carrying burdens. Yeah, but they done lied to you, and then they done seen this. They done put it in the book, and then they done put it on a movie, and now it's seared in your brain forever. But this just ain't the truth, brothers and sisters. Not only that, where does it say his name is going to be Jesus or Muhammad or Selassie or whatever other name that's been concocted over time? It doesn't say. Again, just to show you, he's not only is he not just going to pop up in Jerusalem, I'm going to show you what Yahweh says. I believe I want the book of Hosea in the first chapter of Hosea. And we'll start reading verse 9 where it says, "Then said Elohim, call his name Lo Amin, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your Elohim. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living Elohim. Then shall the children of Yehuda and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel." So they're going to have to appoint one head. And who do you think we're going to appoint? We're going to appoint the one Yahweh appoints. That's who we're going to appoint. And we're going to come out of the land that we were told we're not the children of Yah, which will be said of us, we are the children of Yah, and will appoint one head, Yah's righteous servant, and come up out of the land. Because he's not just waiting over there in Jerusalem. He's among us and will be among us. There's so many different fallacies that have been brought to our people about who Yahweh's righteous servant is that you begin to believe some of the identities been placed on him. But all you need to know is that Yahweh said that this man is righteous. And if we can't find righteousness in these so-called messiahs, then how in the world can they be Yahweh's anointed? Let me show you what it says in Isaiah, the 26th chapter. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1, it says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Yehuda. We have a strong city. Salvation will Elohim appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter." Now, how in the world is the righteous nation going to have an unrighteous king, an unrighteous Messiah, an unrighteous prophet, an unrighteous servant of Yah leading? This is impossible. It can't happen. It won't happen. And I've already shown you that if you're going to be righteous, then you keep the commandments of the Most High. Have any of these false messiahs been commandment keepers? Let me show you another misconception. Go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. And the way we know that Yahweh's servant is who he say he is, the way we know that this is the one, is not because they step off of a spaceship. It's not because they break open the sky and start floating down on some clouds. You'll never read where that's going to happen. It's not because they done came out the grave like Michael Jackson's Thriller. It's not any of them reasons. You don't see that written in the scriptures. You never see where it says that Yahweh's righteous servant is going to come off of a spaceship. He's going to come from the chariots of fire. He's going to come out of the grave. He's going to push the big stone and come out of the sepulcher. You don't see that he's coming off of some underground, underwater sea ship. You don't see any of these things happening. Yet and still, this is what people are looking for. They're waiting for JC to crack open the sky. They're waiting for the mothership to return. You got other people waiting for the planet X, which they call a Nibiru or something like that, to come. Every time an eclipse happens, they're calling it Nibiru. Oh, it's Nibiru and the planet ship. These things, you don't see this in the book of the Most High. This is not what's going to happen. Did Moses crack open the sky? Moses was born like any other man. Like any other man, Moses was born. Had flaws like any other man. Grew beard, had children, drank water, ate food, walked with a staff, had a wife, had drama in his life like any other man. Yet, Moses, Yahweh used him. And when Yahweh wanted to do great things, he used men like Moses. He said, take your staff and strike the waters and they'll turn to blood. He said, take your staff and strike it in the sea and it'll split the sea. And everyone that saw it knew that Yahweh was with Moses. But Yahweh didn't allow Moses to hover over the mountain, float down from a spacecraft, or crack open the sky. When the sky did crack open, Yahweh cracked it open. Yahweh spoke, and he didn't let you see any similitude. And in the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, I'm going to show you another misconception, another lie. We'll begin reading in the 15th verse. It says, Yahweh thy Elohim will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Now, a lot of people take this verse and they try to run with it. They try to say, who's this prophet being spoken of in Deuteronomy 18? Like, this is just one person, one special person, nobody else. And the problem is, not only, I can't say they don't read further. They do. They just want to trick you. They want to trick you because they've been tricked. And they want to continuously put forward the trick. Some of them don't even know they've been tricked, but they've been tricked. It says, Yahweh will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and unto him shall ye hearken. Now, you talk, a lot of Muslims like to use this, and they say, this got to be Muhammad. And then you say to them, if this is talking about Muhammad, then why do you always say you believe in all the prophets? If this is only talking about one prophet, they say, well, this is talking about the last prophet. The Nation of Islam is talking about the last prophet. Elijah Muhammad is that prophet, is that Messiah. The people in Christianity use this scripture for the Christ of the New Testament. Well, who's this talking about? Well, I'm going to show you who it's talking about. I'll tell you right now who it's not talking about. Anybody you've been told it's talking about. It ain't talking about Elijah Muhammad. It ain't talking about Muhammad. It ain't talking about Farah Muhammad. It ain't talking about Farrakhan. It ain't talking about the Christ of the New Testament. And it ain't talking about whoever else you think it's talking about. It's talking about what we about to find out. Yahweh shall raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thy brethren, like unto me, ye shall hearken. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desired of Yahweh, thy Elohim in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of Yahweh my Elohim, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. So you see, we as a people ask Yah to not talk to us. Don't crack open the sky no more. Don't come down in your great chariot. Don't come off of your mountain. Don't do any of these things we now want to see. This is all we want to see now. We want to see these great things happen because you don't know what happens when you see this happen. This ain't no fun stuff. They didn't make these movies with these things happening in these movies and everybody was smiling and everybody was happy and they was throwing a party and they was rejoicing. They were running for their life in the movies when they try to make depictions of exactly what I'm reading to you. And you see, when our people actually saw it, we said, please, just don't do that again. We'll die if you do that again. In verse 17, Yahweh said unto me, they have well spoken which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Now you see, let's see. Did Muhammad do what Yahweh said? Let's see. All throughout the Quran, it say, we gave, we did, we said, we gave, we. And right here, it says, I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my, not our, but my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command them. So you know the Quran and all their we's gotta go. Gots to go. Then we know now that that's not Yah's righteous servant, not his righteous prophet, not his righteous king, not his righteous anything, because he doesn't listen to the commandments of the Most High. Then you ask yourself, well, is it Selassie? Did Selassie do this? No, he did not. If Selassie did this, why did he run to the Queen of England to be protected from the Italians? He ran, not like he just like called them and said, come help. He ran his butt up there, lived there for some time. I thought he was the conquering lion of Judah. Well, no, he wasn't. Because that's not who Yahweh put his spirit on. Nor did he do any of this. Well, maybe then it was Elijah Muhammad. Well, Elijah Muhammad taught that a half white man named William Dodd or William Farr Muhammad was the Most High, which is a lie. He was not only half white, he wasn't black, period. He was like Polynesian and white. And he taught that this was the Most High, but then taught that the white man are devils, and taught that you got to follow the Quran, and taught you can eat whatever the Quran tells you can eat, and taught that he was the last prophet. And we know Yahweh never mentioned him. He didn't do these things. And what he's said hasn't came to pass. Well, is it the Christ of the New Testament? Well, how can it be? It said, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak my words, which he shall speak in my name. Let me read that again. It says in verse 18, I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and it will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. The Christ of the New Testament not once mentioned the name of Yah throughout the entire book. Muhammad never mentioned the name of Yah. Elijah Muhammad did not mention the name of Yah. Farrakhan does not mention the name of Yah. And nor do any of these men or women that claim that they the prophets or the servants or the Mashiach or the Messiah or the righteous whatever of the Most High. They do not mention the name of Yah, nor do they speak his words, nor do they do his words. So that disqualifies them wholeheartedly. Yahweh said, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other deities, of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And all these lying preachers, prophets, ministers, and whoever else they want to call themselves, have not spoke in the name of Yah, but they have came in the name of other deities and not in the name of the Most High. And this is how you know that all these are not Yahweh's righteous servants. But Yahweh's righteous servant is a commandment keeper. Not only that, he mentioned him by name. And we've seen his name through and throughout the scriptures. But who has ascended up to heaven and who has descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? What is his name and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Well, Yahweh told us. But do you know? And this is what we're looking for. And this is what you will find if you just look and see who Yahweh's righteous servant is. And obviously, it hasn't been any of the predecessors that has came before him. Again, Yahweh's Messiah, his anointed, his appointed, his chosen, is his righteous servant. He's a commandment keeper. And therefore, we know we've been lied to about all these other people. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we at the house of Israel. Praise the mighty Yah. Shalom.
Yeah. firm. To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. Put shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim, of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by a seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy.